This is the Daily Signal podcast for Thursday, June 25th. I'm Virginia Allen.
And I'm Risa Del Judas. Our colleague Kate Trinko will be talking to Jarrett Stettman, a Daily Signal columnist and author of The War on History, about what it meant in past historical periods when statues began to be torn down. Plus, they'll discuss how Lincoln warned us about mob rule.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to leave a review or a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and encourage others to subscribe. Now, onto our top news.
Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's case has been thrown out by a federal appeals court. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 Wednesday that the case against Flynn must be dismissed. Despite the Justice Department asking for the case to be dismissed, U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan had so far not done so. The majority opinion, written by D.C. Circuit Court Judge Naomi Rao, challenged Sullivan's actions, saying it involved unprecedented intrusions on individual liberty, USA Today reported. Sullivan had continued the case despite the federal prosecutors dropping it. Flynn had been charged with lying to the FBI about his interactions with a Russian official.
In an effort to prevent another surge of COVID-19 cases, Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York have issued new travel restrictions for people entering their states. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, New Jersey Governor Philip Murphy, and Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont explained during a joint press conference on Wednesday that the travel restriction will require anyone entering one of these three northeastern states to quarantine for 14 days if they're traveling from a state that is reporting more than 10 cases for every 100,000 people within a 7-day period. Right now, the 9 states of Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington, Utah, and Texas are reporting these kinds of high case numbers. There are no plans for New York, Connecticut, or New Jersey to patrol their borders, but if someone enters from a state with a high infection rate and is discovered to not be abiding by the 2-week quarantine, they could be fined and issued a mandatory quarantine.
Not on my watch. That's what Republican South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem had to say Tuesday in response to a tweet from Ben Shapiro, reading, "So, when is our woke historical revisionist priesthood going to insist on blowing up Mount Rushmore?" In the past days and weeks following the death of George Floyd, protests have attempted to tear down statues of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, President George Washington, Union General Ulysses S. Grant, and even President Abraham Lincoln.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas is speaking out against Twitter for censoring a tweet from the president. On Tuesday, Trump tweeted, "There will never be an autonomous zone in Washington, D.C., as long as I'm your president. If they try, they will be met with serious force." The president's tweet comes after protesters and rioters established a police-free autonomous zone in Seattle's Capitol Hill region on June 8th. Twitter responded to the president's tweet by attaching this message. "We've placed a public interest notice on this tweet for violating our policy against abusive behavior, specifically the presence of a threat of harm against an identifiable group." Crenshaw responded to Twitter with his own tweet. "This is beyond the pale. The mob has infiltrated every corner of society. The president's tweet is not only appropriate, but also necessary. Every mayor who claims to protect their citizens should repeat the same. Violent anarchists cannot be encouraged."
A gay liberal state senator was attacked by protesters in Wisconsin on a night when statues were being torn down at the state capitol building. Tim Carpenter, the Democrat state senator who represents parts of Milwaukee, tweeted, "I took this pic. It got me assaulted and beat up. Punched, kicked in the head, neck, and ribs. Socked in left eye is little blurry. Sore neck and ribs. 8 to 10 people attacked me. Innocent people are going to get killed." On Wednesday, Carpenter tweeted, "This has to stop before some innocent person gets killed. I locked up in the Capitol until it's safe."
Now stay tuned for Kate Trinko's conversation with Jarrett Stettman about what it has meant in past historical periods when statues began to be torn down.
I'm Amy Swearer.
And I'm Giancarlo Canaparo.
And if you want to understand what's happening at the Supreme Court, be sure to check out SCOTUS 101, a Heritage Foundation podcast.
We take a look at the cases, the personalities, and the gossip at the highest court in the land.
It's SCOTUS 101.
Joining us today is Jarrett Stutman, a columnist at the Daily Signal and the author of The War on History, which is a great book that you should all check out. Jarrett, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Kate.
So there is so much to talk about today that relates to your knowledge of history, from mob rule to statues being torn down. But let's start in the past. What are some past examples of historical time periods where statues were torn down?
Yeah, I think there are a number of time periods, most of them having to do with revolution very specifically. One, I think, maybe most famous is during the French Revolution. There were attacks on statues, of course, that devolved into attacks on people. I think most Americans know about the Reign of Terror, in which basically mobs went and killed various politicians and leaders in France. But I think that the general statue toppling, as far as large groups of people, mobs and whatnot doing this, generally tends to happen during violent revolution. We also saw this in 1871, once again in France, during the Paris Commune, which was actually a period in time in French history where communards, really precursors to communists, took over Paris and not only created mass violence, but also toppled numerous statues in the city of Paris. So I think this situation where you have mass toppling of statues and attacks on statues generally tends to be a precursor to or a follow-up on a violent revolution. I mean, I think that's what's most common. We see all this also in Russia when the Soviets took control there after the revolution of 1917. Of course, there were general attacks on the historical past. I think those are the best comparisons. If you want to talk about historical statue toppling on a mass scale, I think those are the ones you have to point to.
So French history is not my strong point, to put it delicately. You mentioned that there was violence in regards to the statue toppling, and I'm wondering, was the violence toward people something that happened before, during, or after the statues were toppled?
Often during when the statue's being toppled, and sometimes after as well. I think that is a big part of this, and I think, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing that now, certainly something that we're going to discuss here. But I think generally it ended up with attacks on other civilians in the population. It didn't just end with the statues. It was a period of general violence. Even in American history, during the American Revolution, a few statues of King George III were toppled during that time because, of course, it was a lead up, and that was right in the heart of the American Revolution, where one system of government was being toppled in favor of another. The symbolic act of toppling King George III very much was a part of that revolution, in which essentially you're saying that the authorities are no longer respected or in control, that there has been a regime change, so to speak, and that there's a new authority in the land. In the American Revolution, the precursor was that, of course, as we all know, no taxation without representation, a British Parliament and King that were not respecting the rights of the people to affect their own laws, something that's very different in the United States, something that we have here. We do have the right to protest. We have the right to elections and to choose our own laws. The American revolutionaries of 1776 revolted because they didn't have those rights, very specifically. And that's something I wrote about recently in a piece for the Daily Signal on the Boston Tea Party, why some of these calls, especially now, for that violence is okay or destruction of property is okay because it's like the Boston Tea Party. I do remind people that America in 1773, when that happened, what they were complaining about is they had no potential to even change the laws that were so odious whatsoever. The people were ultimately not in control. And I think that's what led to acts of vandalism in those days, actually even very circumscribed compared to what we're seeing today. Which is a much more widespread attacks, not just on statues or things very specifically, but destruction that's happening in cities, looting of stores, These kind of things, I think, to say that is some kind of orderly protest, I think, is very inaccurate. And I think definitely there needs to be a sharp distinction made between those things.
So in the past, you mentioned France and Russia, in addition to the United States. What types of statues did they attack? Was it indiscriminate? Was it specific targets? And I ask that because, you know, in the United States, of course, this began with discussing toppling Confederate statues. And I think there were some, you know, who thought, well, we shouldn't have mobs toppling them, but maybe a museum move would be appropriate. But it quickly spread to, you know, now a Lincoln statue is under danger. I believe in Wisconsin, they just tore down an abolitionist statue. Ulysses S. Grant was torn down in San Francisco. And I could go, oh, George Washington has been torn down. So it's way past just Confederates. So yeah, talk about historically, was it a specific group of statues that were targeted or was it just random violence?
It was a combination of both those things. Of course, many of those who toppled statues knew exactly what they were targeting. Many others did not. And I think what happens generally is there's a general attack on the regime, so to speak. I mean, that the laws and the institutions that were there before are what's under assault. So often these mobs in the past, whether it be the French Revolution or otherwise, yes, they target very specific statues that depict things that they don't like, that the French monarchy, things like that. But they generally turn to violence against what they see as all symbols of oppression, which is really the society that they belong in, the laws that they think are odious. They no longer respect any of them. And I think you certainly see that when you have especially a violent revolutionary movement. And I think we're seeing that today. I mean, it is quite incredible to see these scenes of abolitionist statues being attacked. We're seeing Union heroes, not just the Confederate ones. And we're really seeing a general attack on, you could say, American and Western civilization. I think that's there's no real thread between a Confederate statue and Winston Churchill other than to just simply people want to attack Western civilization and history. And I think that's what we're seeing now, not just in the United States, but across the globe, which is why I think this thing is really escalating. The violence is actually getting worse on a daily basis, and why it's so disconcerting as Americans are watching this around the country.
So, Jarrett, you wrote a great column for the Daily Signal on mob rule and how Abraham Lincoln warned us about this in a speech that I think was a couple of decades before the Civil War occurred. So what did Lincoln see? What did he anticipate about the dangers of mob rule in America?
Well, what Abraham Lincoln saw in his own day was a disturbing uptick in mob violence and mob order, where mobs had targeted for violence people and property. People have been targeted for the color of their skin, for their race. Black men in this country and women had been targeted by violent mobs and vigilantes. And really, I think there was a general disorder in many American cities that was not being prosecuted, not being dealt with by the legal authorities. And I think this was the key point of this, is that not only were these mobs out of control, but people weren't being prosecuted for the crimes that had been committed. And Lincoln saw this general breakdown of the rule of law in America is not just an attack on law and order, you could say, but also on free society. I mean, free society, we have laws that are duly brought forth and carried out by the American people. This is the government of the people, by the people, for the people, something that Lincoln would state two decades later. And he saw that crumbling before his eyes. This was really a warning shot, a real precursor to the Civil War, which you did have general secession. You did have a breakup of the Union into violence, and was only saved as a close run thing because we had incredible political leadership at that time. I do recommend that everybody read through Abraham Lincoln's Lyceum Address, because he warns, he explains, and I think a quote that's often repeated, that United States as an entity cannot be really threatened by enemies without. It'll never be conquered by a foreign foe. Our only real threat, truly, is ourselves, if we commit national suicide, so to speak, which is Abraham Lincoln, what he was talking about. And the destruction of law and order, of the Constitution, of this idea that we are a nation of laws and not men, that will be the end of America if that becomes a general rule and principle in this country. And I think it has very much to do with what we are seeing now in our own time. We are seeing a real violation of the rule of law in this country on a widespread scale, not just with the attacks on statues, but the attacks on property and people as well, that I think needs to be vigorously, we need to have our laws vigorously enforced, you know, because it not only does it encourage people who are lawless to commit more crimes, to do more destruction, to use force to get their way, to dictate to the majority what laws should be carried out, what should be done, but it also creates a chilling effect for the law-abiding people who still uphold that Constitution, still uphold those laws, that they feel that they are powerless, that there's no reason to respect a government that can no longer protect their lives and property. That is a fundamental aspect of our system that is being challenged, I think, right now. So I think that's what Abraham Lincoln was warning in his own time is so important for ours, because this is what we are seeing, and it's important for leaders, for politicians, for intellectual leaders to stand up right now for the rule of law and to carry that out and to stop these acts of lawlessness, of destruction, of really an undermining of the laws in this country.
Yeah, I agree. It's incredible that, you know, we have all this police force and yet no one can seem to keep a statue standing or prosecute those who tore it down. So speaking of mobs, I wanted to talk about the fact that you brought this to my attention, actually. A Democrat state senator in Wisconsin claims he did nothing but take a photo, and he was attacked by a mob at the Wisconsin state capitol, where they were, you know, just tearing down some statues, whatever. So this senator, Tim Carpenter, tweeted, "I took this pic. It got me assaulted and beat up, punched, kicked in the head, neck, ribs, maybe concussion. Socked in left eye is a little blurry, sore neck and ribs, 8 to 10 people attacked me. Innocent people are going to get killed." And then, this is a little bit ironic, Carpenter told the Washington Post, "Sad thing, I'm on their side for peaceful demonstrations. Am a gay progressive Dem senator, served 36 years in the legislature." Jarrett, what the heck is going on here?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's the consequences of unthinking mobs. Mobs will act as mobs. And what's incredible, especially the lead up to this thing, that this mob had basically attacked a statue of an abolitionist who was an immigrant from Norway, who had served in the Union Army and who had died in a war fighting to end slavery and part of saving the Union of this country. It's amazing that is the statue that was one of the many that was under attack there. But then the mob just simply turns on even its own supporters. It's no surprise that even, you know, those who support these sort of things end up being the victims as well. When you do have a radical movement where people have been stoked up to violent passions and there's no longer respect of the law, these are the kinds of things that happen. I was quite certain, as I see now statues around the country being attacked wantonly, that it was not much of a jump away to see these attacks actually happen on civilians, on innocent bystanders, on people who support and are against the protests. It's not a surprise at all. And that's why it is so dangerous. I mean, I do think that for those who have encouraged these kinds of things, I mean, we've seen many publications, many left-wing ones, basically saying that the violence maybe isn't so bad. You know, I do think they should have second thoughts about that, as we see now attacks that are happening on people that are awful and abysmal. It doesn't surprise me one bit that it's moved to this point, but it's why I think law and order does need to be restored. You know, and I think this is only going to get worse if there isn't aggressive enforcement of the laws, if people aren't seriously both stopped by legal authorities and also punished for taking out these actions. That's why this is so important.
So, as I mentioned earlier, the name of your book is The War on History. You have been, at least the whole time you've been at the Daily Signal, thinking about this very seriously and thoughtfully about what is the war on history? Why is it occurring? Would you say the statue toppling is part of that? And why or why not?
Yeah, the statue toppling, I think, is just an escalation of some of the rhetoric that, frankly, we've seen for a few years. I think a friend of mine who's a professor at the Claremont Institute called the 1619 riots. And the 1619 Project, for those who don't know, is a project of the New York Times that claimed to reframe American history based on the idea that America is basically built on slavery and racism, things like that, instead of the principles of 1776. And when you hear a lot of the rhetoric, especially of those who are rioting right now, it's that essentially America is a malignant force in this world, that Western civilization is inherently bad and evil, that it needs to be brought down. And it's funny that even the creator of that project has basically proudly said, yes, these are the 1619 riots on Twitter. Now, she deleted that tweet on Twitter, but it shows that how that idea has become so common. And frankly, it perpetuates this idea that American laws are not something to be respected. The American institutions, all these things that we've created, certainly imperfect at the time of their creation, which have in many cases been made much better, that these things are things that are inherently bad and need to be brought down. And in many cases now, people are saying by force, that you can't really get equal justice in this country. It's not possible until that system is brought down and laid low. I think this has been bubbling up for years. I think that a defense of America and what this country stands for, the good things, with an acknowledgement of the imperfections that have been a part of this country's history and that are a part of humanity, period. I think there need to be people right now who stand up for the good things that this country has brought the world for its citizens, and be unafraid and be fearless right now, because it's a time that, look, as we see many statues coming down and many leaders, it's a time to be brave like they were. I mean, really, I think that America has survived because there were courageous leaders in times of great crisis and turmoil. And it's time that to quote Andrew Jackson, who's one of the many statues that's been under attack, one in front of the White House, who said that what says on the statue, our federal union, it must be preserved. I think that idea has to be pervasive. I think Americans right now have to stand up for their civilization. They have to stand up for the laws that have been created by a free people. And I think that they need to look to their leaders right now, who need to stand up and say, we are going to defend America as it is. If you want to remove a statue, you have to go through legal channels. You can't take the law into your own hands. And this is not going to be tolerated by a free people. That needs to be the message to Americans across this country.
So important. Well, Jarrett, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Kate.
And again, his book is The War on History. It's a great read. Check it out.
And that will do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening to the Daily Signal podcast. We really appreciate your patience as we record remotely during these weeks.
Please be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. And please leave us a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts and give us your feedback.
Stay healthy, and we'll be back with you all tomorrow.
The Daily Signal podcast is brought to you by more than 500,000 members of the Heritage Foundation. It is executive produced by Kate Trinko and Rachel Del Judas. Sound designed by Lauren Evans, Mark Guiney, and John Popp. For more information, visit dailysignal.com.